You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, it's really such a privilege for me to share God's word with you today. We are actually in the series called Unchanging. This is actually going to be our second week. A little bit of background, a little bit of objective of the entire series itself. You know that every season requires a different faith. Why am I saying that? Because last year, we have also been talking about a series that's similar to this. We have been talking about unwavering, looking at the life of Abraham. We also had that Great Faith series. Why? Because every season requires a different faith. That is why this installment, we're looking at specific things that Isaac has done. We're actually going to be looking at Genesis chapter 26. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this that you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land, reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants so that the Philistines envied him. Let's just do a little bit of storytelling. There was a famine in the land. Chapter 26 starts out this way, that there was a famine in the land that besides the former famine of the days of Abraham. What is my point? Christianity is not just, for the lack of a better term, happy-go-lucky in a lifestyle. The time that you accept Jesus, everything will fall into place. You will have everything the way you want it to, but that's not always the case. This text tells us that there is always a season for famine to happen. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen, but when it's going to happen. Famine is coming, whether you like it or not. What is my point? First things first, famine causes us to take matters into our own hands. I'm not just talking about drought or there's lack of food, but some of us, it would be marital relationships failing, perhaps. Maybe it could be relationships with your friends. Sa una kay, you were so supportive, you're all out for each other, but right now that you are so over-familiar with one another, that would be your famine. Maybe it could be also be financial issues. If you're here and you're the longest time Christian, but you don't enjoy your relationship with God anymore, you're gonna sit down, read your Bible, and all you ever talk about God, na Lord, wala na ako kasabot. I don't understand anything anymore. So this could be our famine. Going forward, Genesis chapter 26, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, to the king of the Philistines. When there was a famine, Isaac was actually on their way to Egypt. They have to pass by Gerar in order for them to go to Egypt. Ngano Egypt? Because Egypt was actually a place of refuge. Why is that so? Because there was actually the Nile River. That means if there's the Nile River, that will enable vegetation for the land that also will provide food. for man and for beast. So that's why in Egypt, sure kayong provision. That's why it's very logical. When there is famine, it would make sense. Naipagkaon sa Egypt, let's go. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. God intervened. No, you don't. You're not going to go there. You're not going to go to Egypt. Could it be that perhaps Egypt was actually one of our easy way out? Why? Because perhaps God was teaching here that, Isaac, you have to trust in me. You're not going to be like your dad, because Abraham, when the time that famine happened, they actually went to Egypt. But this time, God told Isaac, no, this time you're not going to be like your dad, but you're not going to go down to Egypt. You're going to trust in me for provision. Sometimes we do not like that. Ikaw, survival mode na ka, and then there's no food, there's no provision, and then you would take matters into your own hands. And then you're even asked to stop where you're going, stop what you're doing, trust in me. Lord, lisod aoy. Lisod kayo, God. We do not like that. It's hard to put our trust. Maybe, God, if I'm in a situation that's more comfortable, then maybe I would say yes. I would put my trust in you. But this time, I would rather do something or go somewhere that I'm already familiar of. But sometimes it would take the love and the grace of God, an encounter with God, actually, to say yes. A personal encounter with God motivates us to trust Him. When was the last time you shared your testimony to someone? A testimony that's so fresh. It could be a testimony of household salvation or when it comes to provision. If you can't think of something more recent and you can't even remember at all when was the last time you shared a testimony, If that's the case, guys, could it be that you have always been going for the easy way out for a while now? That we are not trusting God, that we are more comfortable in going to Egypt. Going forward, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, and my loss. So reason why God intervened, He remembers His covenant with Abraham, and He will still be faithful with Isaac. It says there that I will establish my oath, and then He goes further, and I will multiply your offspring and all these things. God will still be faithful even if we are not, and He will continue to fulfill His promises, not just to Isaac, but to the succeeding generations. This is the God that we worship. So in response, Isaac settled in Gerar. In other words, he obeyed. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, my wife, thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. Sounds familiar? You know, when we go back to the story of Abraham, Genesis chapter 20, this is also something, the same thing that his dad did, same place. Now, from there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. The reason why there is actually a repetition done by the son is because of the things that's also going on at home. Last week, we talked about how Abraham's faith to the Lord was imparted to Isaac in different ways. Since Abraham and Isaac share a close bond, and I mean a father-son relationship, let me tell you right now, values are more caught than taught. Parents, I hope and pray that you're going to be a model for your children, the ma-provoke bitaw sila to being more Christ-like through our actions. We tell them that, do not do this, this is bad for you, and this is, you know, if you're a parent, you know what's best for them. They cannot hear us because our actions are drowning out your words. They don't understand that. If they see that you are serious of not compromising in sin, that you want to honor God, then it's also going to leave an impact sa ilaha na, hey, mom is really serious. It must be so important to her. They may not say that they're watching, but believe me, they are. So going back to Isaac, he may not have been there. He may not have experienced when Abraham was in Gerar with Sarah. But Isaac still saw the tendencies of Abraham, ang iyong flaws. As a child, he saw it, he owned it. Not consciously. Now, going back to the story, Genesis chapter 26, when the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared. He feared to say, "My wife," or else the men will kill me because of Rebecca. Okay, guapa kayo si Rebecca. Hang on, I thought that Isaac had it all together. He just had a personal encounter with the Lord. God told them that he's going to bless him, that he's going to be with him, that he's going to establish his oath with Abraham. I thought Isaac had it all together. Why the sudden fear? I thought he was assured by God. Why did all of the sudden it was so impulsive? When the men asked Isaac, "Ay, kwan, younger sister," the reason why he would do such actions. Because Isaac feared. Let me tell you this morning, friends, that fear is a mocker of faith. When fear is present, our faith dissipates. We start to overthink. When we overthink, we are more immune to facts. It just cannot make sense. When you are fearful right now and then you claim that you have faith, it's like an oxymoron. You can't coin the two words together. Isaac feared that he will be killed. Kana palang mismong fear that he might be dead because of Rebecca is like saying, "God, will you really protect me?" Fear causes us to also forget God's promises. Maybe at one time we are reading our Bibles, gigit ang quiet time, lami kaya tong quiet time. We are so pumped up, we are so encouraged. Lord, sige, let's do this, let's face the day. And when you heard that tawagon ko sa imong teacher, tuna, dudug, Lord, ano ni? This is also something that we can also relate, guys. Genesis chapter 26, verse 8 to 9. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. This is actually something that Abimelech concluded sa iyang paglanto pa lang. Isaac was laughing with Rebekah, his wife. In other words, Isaac was just being himself with Rebekah. When Abimelech saw that there was affection and they were just spending time together, he would say, "Dili na sila siblings." That's why he confronted Isaac. He called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say that she is my sister?" Then Isaac said to him, "Because I thought I die because of her." Sakpan. Nasakpan si Isaac. You know what? As much as Isaac may not like this, Isaac may not like the feeling na patay, magunsan ako, magsakpan ako. Because there is actually a possibility na pwede siya patyon all the more. But you know what? It says here that Abimelech said, "What is this that you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife surely be put to death." You know what? Abimelech here is actually a picture of God's faithfulness as well in action. Why? "Because now I know that she is your wife. Okay, I'm not going to touch her." You must have feared us so much that you're willing to give away your wife just to save your own neck. Grabe ang fear sa imo. How Abimelech was exposing Isaac was evidence of God's grace and intervention. Why? Because God is like saying, "I don't want you to go through this. This is not part of your calling, your destiny. You see, that's not so bad. My presence will always be with you." With Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 14, "After that, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he had become very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him." It's quite interesting that God would still show his faithfulness. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped 100-fold. And mind you, this is in the year of famine. Going back to God's faithfulness, to tell you the truth, famine or no famine, you do not harvest your crops in the same year. Scripture tells us that in the same year, He did not just harvest a little, but he harvested 100-fold. The Philistines and the other people in that country are actually not reaping that much. That they're actually reaping so scarce. It just shows us a picture that this is the divine blessing that God had put in Isaac. What can we learn from this? Seeing that God's faithfulness is present, is evident all throughout, even in the repetitive cycle of the flaws of Abraham and Isaac, God still proved himself faithful. If you're here for the first time or for the longest time and you're feeling condemned about your shortcomings or inconsistencies before God, in light of our shortcomings, we take refuge in the Lord who is faithful. Even the patriarchs had their own times that they find themselves faithless before God. Abraham had an encounter with God. Isaac also did. Abraham feared na basin patyun siya. Isaac also feared. You know, in the same scenario. Abraham lied to Abimelech. Isaac did the same thing too. You know, Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 26 is so identical that the writer wrote it intentionally to see that even if ever pabalik-balik ang ato ang mga shortcomings and failures, all the more that we appreciate the unchanging nature, ang unwavering faith of the God that we worship. Guys, these are the patriarchs. They would also found themselves that they were already dishonoring God. But God proved himself to be faithful. He has never failed. Baby, wala makabalo. In those two accounts, Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, and Isaac, Genesis chapter 26, they left that country filthy rich. My point here is, God is always faithful. He will never fail. And both of them know that from the start. Going back to Isaac, this time he obeyed. He stayed in Gerar. He did not go to Egypt because he trusted God. And there, God, with his gracious and provident, iya pag-provide bitaw. But my question here is, what made Isaac say yes? That, Lord, okay, I'm not going to go to Egypt. I'm going to stay here in Gerar and put my trust in you, even in the season of famine. What is our motivation for obedience? I just feel like I wanted to share this to you this morning because sometimes our motivation to obey is transactional. We are too focused on the blessing. Going back to Isaac, when God intervened, told him, do not go down to Egypt because I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to establish my oath. Okay, God said those things. But do you think that Isaac was there? He would say, that sounds pretty good. Kabante mo, there's a transactional. What's in it for me? Okay, that's it. Okay, I'll consider that. All right, I'm going to stay here. And God, do your thing. Let's see what you can do. Wow, nay mo pa kag-judge. And then, what do we usually do if we don't see the blessing? If we don't see the breakthrough? We start to gripe. We start to complain. Lord, ngano ni? I thought you were like this. I thought that you are going to heal my family. I thought you are going to heal this marriage. I thought if I would obey you, there is already signs of my father would finally accept you as his personal Lord and Savior. But Lord, I don't see anything of that. Is it still worth it to obey you? You see here, it exposes our motivation to obey. Sometimes we are too focused on the blessing, not the blesser, the gifts, and not the giver. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 26, verse 2 to 6. This is when God expresses intervention and then the blessing. So the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, Isaac. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and to your offspring, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Tastang lamia, oy, gumawa ng blessing. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Therefore, Isaac obeyed. He settled in Gerar. But let me tell you something that we might have missed here. Do you think that Isaac said yes because of the blessing? Because, Lord, that sounds good. Okay, I'll stay here. I don't think so. Because Isaac saw something else. Isaac saw the very heart of God establishing this relationship between him and God. Isaac, if you're going to go there to Egypt right now, you're going to miss me. Whereas, if you're going to stay here, you're going to experience the blessing, and not just the blessing, but the pleasure that I get to do this with you. Why do you think God would bother to intervene? Because more than just God's heart to bless, God also wants you, mismo. He wants to spend time with you. This is why Jesus Christ paved the way for us to enjoy His presence, to enjoy the relationship that He has for us. Obeying God doesn't mean that your marriage is going to be on a 10 over 10. Obeying God does not mean that all your diseases will be gone. Obeying God, you know, loving God doesn't mean that you're going to be healed. Obeying God doesn't mean that you will get a promotion in work. Lord, nag-obey ko, then you're gonna be expectant na. Na I'm gonna be promoted. No. This is what I love about the gospel. When we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, does that mean that everything will happen the way that we want to? It does not mean that everything will fall into place. The true gospel means that no matter what situation, famine or no famine, Jesus will always be there. And Jesus will always be enough. And this is why we say yes to Him. This is why we obey God.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.